Nine families of the victims killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting agreed this week to settle a lawsuit against the gun manufacturer Remington, which produced the firearm that was used to kill 26 people. Four insurance companies representing Remington will pay out $73 million. Francine Wheeler, the mother of one of the victims, spoke at a press conference announcing the settlement and said the money can't bring her son back.
Our legal system has given us some justice today. But as I told Josh Koskoff a few weeks ago, David and I will never have true justice. True justice would be our 15-year-old, healthy, and standing next to us right now. But Benny will never be 15. He will be 6 forever, because he is gone forever. Today is about what is right and what is wrong.
Firearm manufacturers have some federal legal protection from lawsuits, so it's not clear whether this case would be a precedent for future suits. Jacob Charles is the executive director of the Center for Firearms Law at the Duke University School of Law. Jake, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to this new settlement, I want to look at this federal protection. Congress passed the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act back in 2005. It limits a lot of kinds of lawsuits in gun manufacturers. What does that law do?
Yeah, that's right. So the law was passed in 2005 after a spate of city and other plaintiffs filed lawsuits against gun industry actors, claiming that a lot of the gun violence that was resulting in these cities and other municipalities was the result of manufacturer distributing practices that were allowing guns to be oversupplied in these communities. And so the 2005 legislation was a response to that Congress enacted. And what it does is provides a pretty broad liability shield for gun manufacturers and sellers for any harm that results from the criminal or unlawful misuse of a firearm.
So you could do a product liability suit if there were dangers presented by a defective firearm, right? Like many other consumer products, but not when used, as you say, for criminal purposes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So product liability suits are still allowed, and PLACA itself lists some exceptions. So there are times even where there's criminal or unlawful misuse of a firearm where lawsuits are allowed. And that's one of the exceptions that the Sandy Hook plaintiffs relied on. But for the most part, it erects a pretty broad liability shield.
Does this shield apply just in federal courts, or does it apply in federal and state courts?
Federal and state courts, yep. So it applies to essentially preempt all kind of lawsuits against gun industry actors.
So here we have this lawsuit against Remington, again, filed by families of victims in the Sandy Hook shooting. In a Connecticut state court, it was allowed to move forward. What was particular about this case that said this federal thing, this Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, didn't stop it from going forward?
Yeah, I'm just going to call it PLACA for short,
sure,
since the title is as long as you say. So one of the exceptions in PLACA, the one that's most litigated, is often called the predicate exception. And the predicate exception says that a lawsuit is allowed to proceed forward if a plaintiff can show that the violation, the lawsuit arises from the defendant's violation of a state or federal law applicable to the sale or marketing of firearms. And so this phrase, applicable to the sale or marketing of firearms, is really key here. And what it means essentially is that if you can show that the manufacturer or the gun dealer violated one of these federal or state laws, then you're allowed to go forward with the sale. So a straightforward example would be the federal law says that you can't engage in a straw purchase. And a straw purchase is where somebody walks into a gun store and buys a gun for somebody else who's not allowed to have that gun. And they purchase the gun for the other person, and then they walk out of the store and hand it to them. That'd be a straw purchase. And so if you say this gun store knowingly engaged in this straw purchase, they're not going to have the protection of PLACA. And the Sandy Hook plaintiffs, they didn't rely on a straw purchase exception, but they relied on an exception for another law that they said was applicable to the sale or marketing of firearms. And that, in this instance, was Connecticut's consumer protection statutes, which say that you cannot market a product, any product, including firearms, in an unethical or oppressive or immoral way. And so that was at the heart of the lawsuit.
Yeah, let's dive into the heart of the suit now. This idea that Remington had marketed its firearms in a way that violated that Connecticut consumer protection law. What was the case the families were making here?
Right. So the families allege that the way Remington marketed this particular firearm, it's a AR type firearm, it's the XM15E2S. The way they did it was to encourage violent behavior, so that they say they did it to, quote, carry out offensive military style combat missions against a person's perceived enemies. And so their argument is it's unethical to market a product, a firearm here, in a way that would encourage someone to engage in illegal conduct, like shooting down their enemies. And they honed in on a particular number of advertisements that they say evinced this kind of conduct. So one that kind of got a lot of press at the time was a Remington ad that pictured this weapon and then said, consider your man card reissued. Another one said, forces of opposition bow down, you're single-handedly outnumbered. And so the allegation was these constituted the kind of unethical marketing of a product that would qualify as a violation under Connecticut's consumer protection law. And the Connecticut Supreme Court didn't find whether or not that was true, whether or not these were actual violations, but they said this is an allegation of a violation of a statute that does apply to the marketing of firearms. And so this claim can go forward. It's not going to be barred by PLACA.
Talking to Jacob Charles from the Duke University School of Law's Center for Firearms Law, talking about this legal settlement made by the Remington Firearms Company, paying out in a lawsuit filed by families of victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Jacob, in a case like this, is it necessary to connect the dots and say this series of ads from a company like Remington somehow led this particular perpetrator to commit these crimes?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a really crucial point here, which is that they're at the stage of the lawsuit, or at least it was at the stage of the lawsuit, where the plaintiffs hadn't even gotten any of the factual evidence yet in the case. They were making these allegations based off of the public information, what public ads they saw. And they didn't have the discovery period yet where a party is allowed to find out information. And so they weren't put to the task of proving what I would call causation here, which is a link between these ads and the actual shooting that took place. And in fact, the Connecticut Supreme Court said that might be a really hard task, but they are entitled to their chance in court to do it. And so in the stages after the Connecticut Supreme Court allowed the lawsuit to go forward, there was still no stage of the lawsuit where they had to be put to this task. But I think it's a fair question to ask. And maybe the result would have been that a jury would have said, we don't actually see the link here, or you haven't proven the link here between these ads and this particular shooting. But it was enough for the allegations to go forward at this stage of the lawsuit.
Now, Remington settled, and some people have pointed toward Remington going through a bankruptcy proceeding right now. What do you see leading to the company saying, we don't want to go through this discovery period, we want to be done and pay out now?
Right. I think it is crucial, the fact that Remington has gone through bankruptcy, and its insurers are the ones who settled. And, you know, one of the statements we saw from the National Shooting Sports Foundation, which is kind of the gun industry lobbying group, is that this wouldn't have happened if it was an ongoing firearms manufacturer, that they wouldn't have settled. They would have fought it because they don't want to establish this kind of precedent for lawsuits against the gun industry. So I think it is important and noteworthy, the fact that Remington is essentially no more, that its parts have been sold off, and that it was a settlement with its insurers. That doesn't discount the fact that this will be used as precedent to reinvigorate other lawsuits against gun industry actors. But I think it was significant because gun industry actors, dealers, and manufacturers especially have been very reluctant to settle any claims arising from gun violence just for this very reason. They don't want to set a precedent.
Well, you set up my big concluding question here, Jake. To what extent will this or could this be used as a precedent for future lawsuits?
So the The precedent that it will set is, I think, twofold here. One is that there's a really large settlement. That $73 million is a lot of money. The last settlement that we had by a gun manufacturer for gun violence was the DC sniper case, and this was in 2004, before PLACA, and that was for $2.5 million. And so this one is substantially more than that. So one will be incentive for plaintiffs' lawyers and for those who are harmed by gun violence. And two is the actual legal precedent, which is that now that the case is over, there's going to be no more rounds of appeals and liability findings, so that the Connecticut Supreme Court's decision that a consumer protection statute can be a way to get around PLACA's liability shield is going to be cited by plaintiffs in other suits to say other states that have these similar consumer protection statutes should also follow this Connecticut Supreme Court's lead in allowing those to get out from under PLACA.
Jake, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Jacob Charles is Executive Director of the Center for Firearms Law at Duke University's School of Law. He was with us today talking about the legal settlement between the gun manufacturer Remington and its insurers and the families of victims in the Sandy Hook school shooting, and what kind of precedent that might set for future lawsuits.